Welcome to IKP's Digital Film Podcast, where we literally discuss everything and anything in the digital film world that tickles our fancy. This could be the latest Blu-ray releases to the latest theater releases. Is 1080p really gone the way of the dodo? 4K OLED coming strong? How prepared should you be? Will that HDMI cable that cost you $300 really make a difference? NAB, CES, MegaCon, Comic-Con, Cedia, Anime Expo. What conventions should we be attending or paying attention to? What televisions are the best? Samsung, Panasonic, Toshiba, Sony? What Blu-ray player is the best to buy? Oppo, Sony, Panasonic, Samsung? Who knows? But that's the beautiful journey we're going to take here at IKP's Digital Film Podcast. So kick back, relax, and enjoy our sexy Digital Film Podcast. Yeah. Welcome to IKP's Digital Film Podcast. My name is Ruben, and this is going to actually be a mini podcast, if you will. And one of the reasons it's going to be a mini podcast is because I believe, now I don't want to get too many people excited, but I believe within the next week or so, we're going to be very, very, very busy in production, not only of our video that we've been trying to get off for the past 2 years, our music video tribute, full with choreography. But Sherry's actually probably going to be able to take a sabbatical from her work that has nothing to do with IKP, because we obviously, you know, IKP is a nonprofit organization right now, a company, if you will, because, and that's just what it is right now. You know, we're still taking our steps to becoming a company. We're, you know, learning the business, doing what we can to acquire as much knowledge to be a successful company. And when starting any company, the last thing you want to do is fucking go balls to the wall without thinking or planning or learning the business that you are entering in. Such as some go in without thinking and they get successful. But most of the time, if you go in, you know, without preparation, you will get a fucking hemorrhoid. So, you know, I don't want that to happen to me. The last thing I want is a fucking big ass blister on my ass. So, so we're, you know, taking our time and, you know, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So I have time to do it, God willing. I don't die tomorrow. But she'll be able to take a sabbatical for about a week, I believe. Don't hold me to that because, you know, anything can happen. But in between that week, we plan to do a couple of podcasts and hopefully a couple video blogs. Trying to get everything out by March. The plan is to launch the official Impulse Kitty Productions or IKP website with new logo and new music video tribute by March, sometime late March, early March, depends on how long the edit and the shoot take and the logo to create, because I gotta rely on my cousin. He's a very successful CG compositor, you know, CG artist, and he's worked on, you know, right now he's working on a big film. I don't know if I'm exactly allowed to say which film he's actually working on, but it's a summer blockbuster film that most of you will go see. He's worked on other movies as well, such as Green Lantern 3D Conversion, Drive Angry, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D, and other films, a lot of other films that you've probably seen that are good or bad. But he's, you know, he's in the business and he knows what he's doing. So I'm hoping to ask him to. I have an artist friend. She's very good at drawing. I suck at drawing. I can barely draw a stick man to save my life. So, you know, I really wanted a logo, especially now that we kind of know where, what direction we're going, and, you know, it's a very minimalistic idea, But it kind of gets the message across that, you know, it's what you see is what you get. Clean, no fuss, no muss kind of logo. So hopefully you guys will like that. And so, she's going to be talking to us within the next couple weeks and coming up with the concept. She'll draw it out. And obviously this has to be in layers. And then I give these layers to my cousin, and then, you know, he scans them and puts them in 3D space. And then hopefully, if everything goes well, we birth, if you will, a new logo, official logo, along with a music video tribute that will show our color grading or color timing and cinematography and directing skills. But it is a music video tribute nonprofit, so hopefully you guys like it. We've been working on it for the past 2 years. And one of the reasons it's been on hold is because every time we're about to shoot it, one, we have to do choreography. Two, it's based in a garage, entirely in a garage. So, you know, if you know Florida, if you've ever been here or you live in Florida, we live in the general Orlando area in Florida. And during the summer, it gets really hot and humid to the point where there are times you take a shower and you walk outside, and after 5 minutes, you feel like you didn't take a shower at all, man. You feel grody and sticky. It's hard to breathe sometimes because it's so fucking humid sometimes. And then you got the hurricanes and tropical storms. But, you know, so it's the window of time to do this is winter. You know, because the last thing you want to do is be locked in a garage during the summertime with lights, cameras, and choreography in a garage. When it's 90 to 100 degrees outside and inside, probably even more. The last thing I want to do is have people passing out, cameras malfunctioning, lights. You know, it wouldn't be a good idea to do it during the summer. So the window of time to do it was always between like December and February. March starts kind of getting into that danger area. By April, it's already getting hotter, so forth. You know, and you can't predict the weather either. So last year, Sherry got into an accident and had a lot of physical therapy to undergo, so couldn't do it because of the choreography. And the other year, it just didn't happen because we just didn't hit the by the time we were ready and we had the money to rent the camera and the equipment, it was already summertime, so we didn't hit that mark. So this time, if everything goes okay, we should have a video by March, end of March. Right now, I'm a little bit under the weather. I can't believe I'm getting sick again. So, bear with me if I clear my throat or something. I can't believe I'm getting sick again. I hate getting sick, man. Especially with me. I don't know. Every time I get sick, it knocks me on my ass. And, anyway. But, so the mini podcast is just to update you, to do a quick dirty review of the Batman Dark Knight Returns Part 2 animated conclusion movie thing. Yeah, that's a technical term, right? Yeah, we're talking tech talk here, if you will. No, the Dark Knight Returns had a Part 1. It's an animated film. Put them together, it's about two and a half hours, so it's, you know, one of the longest straight to Blu-ray animation movies that Warner Brothers has released, amongst others. And I gotta say, it's very faithful to the graphic novel that it's based off of. The graphic novel is, as it's called, The Dark Knight Returns, and it was done by Frank Miller. The artistry is very faithful as it can be, you know, especially the second part. I'm gonna tell you right now before I give my review, it's fucking gnarly. Like, You would think, like, I was watching this, it's Batman's animated. So you kind of, anybody that's familiar with the Batman, the animated series, you kind of, link every time to that when you think of animation and Batman. So, you go I went into the movie thinking, because I usually, anytime I watch anything animation, it's usually with the kids or, and it's usually nowadays it's like 3D animation. I usually don't see any more 2D animation because, like Despicable Me and Shrek and, other movies like that. That's what's hot right now, and that's unfortunately where, I do miss those days where, some of my favorite 2D movies, and they do involve Disney. Yeah, one of my favorite Disney movies, I think of all time, was Robin Hood. Remember? Robin Hood, Little John running through the forest, fucking my dog. Anyway, So yeah, one of my favorite movies. And now, in October, they're gonna release The Little Mermaid on Blu-ray, which my wife loves. And I gotta say, man, I watch that movie day in and day out with my nieces. I grew up with a lot of female influences around my life, so I didn't have that many male influences in my life. So every time I grew up with a lot of females, and so I Little Mermaid was around, and I gotta say I liked it, man. I mean, who didn't really? I mean, come on, man. That thing was hot when it was out. It's gonna be hot when it comes out on Blu-ray. So yeah, those are the two I own. Definitely love The Lion King, and I own the copy of the 3D version of the Blu-ray, which I gotta say was done very well. What other 2D movie that I don't know, one of the movies, one of my favorite movies as well, one of my other favorites. Not it's in the top tier. I think it's Robin Hood, and I think this one's my second. Is Finding Nemo. Now that's not a 2D animation, but I don't know. When it came out on Blu-ray, I was just like, yes. So, but anyway, I went a little bit off topic. But getting back to Batman, I guess I'll just give the review now. It was shocking because it was not, it wasn't like PG, like, hey, or G, should we say. This shit was borderline fucking rated R, I think. Like, if you, especially the second half, when the shit, it really hits the fan, and I'm not gonna spoil, I usually like spoiling things for people, but I'm not gonna spoil this one to you. Just go out there. It's on Blu-ray at a very affordable price. Pick up part one, part two. If you're a fan of Batman, you'll definitely be satisfied. Blu-ray.com gave it a 4.0 out of 5 review, and I will give you all your audio files and video files, the specs of the Blu-ray for the Batman: The Dark Knight Returns Part 2. The video codec is an MPEG-4 AVC. Resolution is obviously full HD 1080p. Aspect ratio is presented at a 178:1 aspect ratio. The original aspect ratio was 178:1, so no loss there. The audio comes in a English DTS HD master audio track 5.1. And it also comes in a French Dolby Digital 5.1 and Spanish Dolby Digital 5.1 and German Dolby Digital 5.1 track. Subtitles include English, French, Spanish, German. 50 gig Blu-ray disc, 2 disc set, 1 BD, 1 DVD, 1 UV digital copy, which I don't like ultraviolet. I just like the regular digital copies that I can put in my iTunes. Anyway, and it comes with a DVD copy, and the packaging has a slip cover in original pricing, and the playback is region free. Blu-ray.com gave the movie itself a 4.5, the video quality of the Blu-ray 4.0 out of 5, the audio quality a 4.0 out of 5, and for special features and extras, it gave it a 3.5 out of 5, and the overall score came down to a 4.0 out of 5. So head over to Blu-ray.com, and if you really want a synopsis of what it's about, like I said, I don't want to give too much away. I don't know. It's a good movie. I guess, especially the second half, I was just like, fucking, you know, put it this way. I mean, when you have Batman, Joker, Superman, all these characters, you know, Robin in one, and, you know, and if you know the story or have a hint of a little bit of knowledge of Frank Miller's graphic novel, The Dark Knight Returns, you'll definitely be satisfied in all its Batman yumminess. It follows a little bit of the, I can see a little bit of The Dark Knight Rises, where they picked up a little couple things from The Dark Knight Returns. But overall, like I said, the Blu-ray quality to me was a 5.5. And with animation, I mean, it's tack sharp. The colors were beautiful. The audio was definitely great. You know, great surround, 5.1 DTS master. Oh, I love DTS, man. Like I said, you know, oh, I'm glad it's found a home. I was always one of those people. I don't know if you guys remember Superbit DVDs, where, you know, that was the best DVD and the best audio. It always had like a DTS track. And I remember me and my cousin always trying to find DTS and Superbit and DVDs, because like, it was night and day compared to regular Dolby Digital 5.1. And we were so happy, you know, that when Blu-ray came around and HD DVD, that it found its home, especially on Blu-ray, that DTS found its home. And you can listen to all the, if you have the proper equipment, you know, an AV receiver that can decode all those lossless formats, such as DTS HD, Dolby Digital True HD, or PCM uncompressed. Lossless audio is awesome. If you have an HD TV larger than 46 inches or 46 inches and larger, you should have at least a 5.1 home theater in a box setup, minimal. Otherwise, you're missing out on all of that Blu-ray goodness. Also, make sure you get your television calibrated too. Specs, because you want to be in that color gamut. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that color gamut is a Rec 709 that everything's mastered in. So anyway, off a little bit topic, let's see, I'm gonna wrap it up soon. Like I said, it's a mini podcast. CES OLED 4K were the talk of the town about, sorry, it's late or early, depending on what time or where you live in the world. And I'm a little sick, a little drugged up with some Theraflu, so forgive my blah, 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 blah. Anyway, 4K and OLED, man. For those of you I'm not going to go into, because OLED right now, we'll get into it a little bit more when I do a full podcast. But pretty much the way I like to describe OLED is, like, you know, you take LED, LCD technology with plasma technology and all those fucking technologies fucked and had an orgy, and then they birthed OLED, OLED, if you will. And it's the best of both worlds. Well, it's the best of all the worlds. So, you know, nice blacks, expanded color gamut, which I'm not exactly sure how that will happen. I know when you go to the cinema, you see a little bit more expanded color gamut than you would at home. But most of the stuff is mastered in that color gamut, specific color gamut, which is represented in a form of a triangle, certain axes, and Rec 709 to get technical. So, thin, cost-effective OLED technology can be applied. I mean, Samsung was touting technology that you could, in the future, use OLED, and it was there to fold a phone. And, you know, could you imagine holding your phone and just folding it like a piece of paper and putting it away, and then opening it back up, and the screen is crisp HD? It's just fucking amazing, this technology. Not only that, but it solves the problem of off-axis viewing for people. I don't know if you noticed, but if you own an LCD, LED, hybrid, whatever, that technology, one of its horrible faults is that if you're not sitting directly in the sweet spot, which is in the front, you start moving off axis, off view and angle to the right or to the left, those people will get less than a stellar picture experience because the blacks start washing out and the uniformity, the screen uniformity is just not that good. That's why, you know, I love plasma. Plasma is far superior, and the black levels on plasmas are amazingly inky. The screen uniformity, the off-axis viewing angle, anywhere in the house, if you have a plasma, whoever's in the house sitting, they're gonna, if you're gonna have a, you're not gonna miss out on picture detail or nothing's gonna wash out. So so I plan to actually get a Panasonic VT50. I'm saving up for that. I really want the VT50. It's the best TV of 2012. If I had the money, I would go with the ZT series that's coming out this year, which has that expanded color gamut that you see in your commercial cinema. At least Panasonic says that. So, but once again, if things are mastered to a specific color gamut, that expanded color gamut, I'm not exactly sure. Anyway, how we would see that. But anyway. But yeah, a lot of toys at CES. A lot of tech. 4K is no longer a thought. No longer a technology that's, oh, so far away. It's here. Westinghouse has a 55-inch 4K television that's coming out for consumer sale. Already there's everybody had a fucking 4K television. It was 4K, 4K OLED, 4K OLED, 4K OLED. So for those of you that don't think that 4K is coming, well, it's not only coming fast, but it's pretty much here, and you're going to see it within the next 5 to 6 years really just take over. The only problem with 4K that I see right now is that there's no content available, or the content is pretty limited, and getting that content to the consumer is pretty tricky. There were a couple different technologies out there. Also getting in the 4K game is Netflix. Netflix is apparently going to be able, if you have the bandwidth, you'll be able to stream 4K movies. And Sony had this this kind of like a disc, a silver disc hard drive player, if you will, their 4K player, which you would get from what they say, a disc with that information or what have you, a certain device, whether it be a I think it was a disc, they said, like a Blu-ray disc with the 4K material on it as a file. And then you download it. You're supposed to download it to the player itself, and that, whether it takes overnight or a couple of days or whatever. But the idea is that the movie in question or the content that you're downloading from that disc stays on the hard drive, and then you can watch it whenever the hell you want in full 4K glory. Now, 4K comes in a consumer, two different sizes also. The consumer size is 3840 by 2160, and the size that you will normally see in the cinemas in 4K is 4096 2160. So different sizes. I'll go into that a little bit more next time, but anyway, but yeah, but like I said, I'm a big supporter of 4K. It's not only is it going to be better for us, but it's going to be better for people that love 3D, especially for passive glasses, for people that don't want to wear shutter glasses. You know, because when you get passive glasses, like at the theater, I mean, they're just little plasticky glasses, and, you know, it'll be much more affordable. One of the reasons that passive glasses doesn't work with a full HD TV is it cuts the resolution in half. So essentially, you're not really seeing a full HD picture. That's why active glasses, active shutter glasses are implemented to, you know, combat that situation. But, you know, as affordable as active glasses are becoming nowadays, you know, you still have to charge them, put batteries in them, blah, 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 blah. Things you just normally wouldn't want to do. And, you know, if you have a large family or a lot of people that like watching 3D to come over, it's like, it will get a little bit expensive to buy glasses. Especially if you're on the Panasonic front, their 3D glasses run around like $70 a piece. So, so passive glasses, so 4K technology to watch 3D, even if it cuts the resolution in half, you're still in each eye looking at a full 1080p image. So that's also great. And it's just, it's beautiful. If you, like I said, if you have a 27-inch iMac from 2011 to 2013, go to YouTube and type in just 4K and check out some 4K content on there. It's not actually displayed at 4K. It's displayed a little bit above 1080p. I think 2.5 to 3K. I'm not exactly sure on the numbers, but you will get a flavor of what 4K if you have the bandwidth, which I would assume by this time a lot of people, cable companies, are offering high-speed internet at an affordable price now. So I just got bumped up myself to 20 megabytes extra down that I was getting just for $7. So I'm a happy camper. More internet. Oh, you can never have enough bandwidth in internet. I mean, it's amazing, you know. I wish I had Verizon Fios, but unfortunately it doesn't serve my area. I hear a lot of rave reviews of Verizon Fios. But I am no longer jealous of anybody with Verizon Fios. I finally have the bandwidth that I've been searching for, and for the price, for the affordable price that I have it for, I have no reason to complain. But anyway, so yeah, those are a couple things that were interesting to me. Was there another thing I was going to say? No, that was about it. So thanks for stopping by for this mini podcast. Hopefully that week that I talked about that Sherry takes off, we'll be able to get you guys, you know, because I can talk for an hour. You guys can listen to me. But I think, you know, podcasts work better when you have someone to play off of and talk to, because it was just a one-sided opinion about things. So, and you tend to get bored, and I don't want to bore you guys. Because then I just feel like I'm just preaching or something after a while. But yeah, I'm also hoping to get a couple of different people on that are in the business, such as my cousin. Would love to get him on a podcast and talk to him about what he does. What compositors, CGI artists do, I applaud. It's amazing work. I don't have the brain for it. I can admit that. When it comes to CGI, I applaud everybody in that business, because I just, you know, I have no head for that kind of. I can, like I said, I can't even draw a stick figure to save my life. So I applaud you, compositors and artists out there. Hopefully, like I said, we'll have the official website and some. We're also doing some photo shoots to show off, you know, what the company's about and the talent that we have in terms of producing a high quality image, not only in digital film, but in stills photography. So hopefully, you know, our company's pretty much, our goal is to eventually provide, you know, Hollywood grade, you know, high quality work for an affordable price. So hopefully that message gets across the next couple of years, and some of these music video tributes that are nonprofit will at least solidify, okay, these guys can tell a story. These guys can, you know, are pretty good at, you know, cinematography, directing, whatever. So hopefully you guys enjoy what we have and some original stuff that we will be coming out. Sorry. Once again, I'm sick. But thanks for stopping by and being sexy. Yeah. All right. Fading fast. So I'm going to hug myself with my blankie and some Theraflu. And yeah, and hopefully I'll be better next time. But thanks for stopping by, and you know, hit that like button, rate us on iTunes, give us a couple stars, like us on our Facebook, Vimeo, Twitter. If you like what you hear, if you just like us in general, give us a little click. And thank you from all of us here at IKP. Thanks for following us. Thanks for supporting us. And we hope to. All right, guys. I'll cut it off here before I make more of an ass out of myself. Take it easy. Peace, love, and a peanut butter jelly sandwich up my ass.